I'm Justin Oldham, and you're listening to an ATS member podcast. For the benefit of those very suspicious computers over the Department of Homeland Security, which may be scanning this file, I'd like to say that this digital recording was made on Sunday, February 17th of 2008. For the next 10 minutes, I'll be responding to remarks made by Freedom ERP in his recent podcast reply to my podcast, number 17 in this series. If you're encountering my work for the first time and you don't know who I am, please go to AboveTopSecret.com and have a look. In my most recent podcast, I talked about the hidden politics of economic decline. In a nutshell, I made the case that American politicians will take advantage of everyone's fears and worries about the coming economic recession, which could become even much worse, and they'll play on our fears to grow the size of government and to gather more power for their use. Freedom ERP's central point is that he does not believe that American politicians would resort to a managed economy. To a certain extent, I have to say that I agree with him. However, there are three major caveats, which I'm ready to talk about just now, which are unique to American politics. As you know, Freedom ERP hails from somewhere over there across the pond in Europe. I believe it's the United Kingdom. Now, within the European sphere of influence, it's common for governments to meddle extensively in their national economies. Now, it's worth noting that the European situation did not simply occur overnight. Many of these nations have only made the transition from monarchies to parliamentary governments within the last 100 years or so. Even within the last 200 years, those European nations which have had parliaments have, over that span of time, seen the power of their parliaments grow considerably as the power of their monarchs waned. In the short term, by which I mean over the next 100 years, I do think we're going to see the U.S. economy transformed. I think it will be a partially managed economy. It's what conservatives and Republicans call the rise of the nanny state. As I make this recording, Republicans are about to get their asses handed to them in the November elections. This turn of events for the GOP was never hard to see coming. As a matter of fact, I've been on record as having predicted it since 2004. Now please just bear with me for a moment, because this plays into the first of those three caveats I want to talk about. As the Republicans become a very small minority in the House and the Senate, the Democrats will achieve levels of power in the federal government that they've never had before. And that's saying a lot, because at certain high water marks during the 20th century, these guys had a lot of political juice. Well, now they are on the threshold of achieving near total power. In spite of everything that George W. Bush has done to make so many people mad, this is particularly important because for the last 200 years of its existence on paper, the Democratic Party, as we know it today, has consistently advocated for an intrusive role of government. They are advocates of big government. That's really all it boils down to. As they ride the anti-Bush backlash into office, they'll be tempted to construe that as a mandate for big government. And I would contend that this is a unique political exploitation that is only made possible because of a specific circumstance. We are, in effect, experiencing a perfect political storm in which we're going to see the minority party get crushed to the extent that it'll have to reinvent itself 8 or 12 or 16 years down the line. In the meantime, we're going to see the rise of a Democratic Party, which itself will be transformed by their self-deluded mandate that they should somehow really just push this big government because it is, for after all, for our own good. Now, let me just cut to the chase. I expect our semi-managed economy to mean that in the not-too-distant future, the United States federal government will play an active role in our health care and insurance systems. When you get right down to it, if you wrap up all the medical and insurance stuff, you're basically looking at about 1/7 of the overall GDP. And for those of you who don't have a calculator handy, that's about 14-16% of the total national economy, depending entirely on how you want to look at it. Once the Democrats have their fingers in the health care pie, they really won't be in a position to totally manage the economy, but they will be in a position to have a higher degree of control over our society than any American has ever experienced in the past. That, in a nutshell, is my second caveat. And the third is rather obvious. The simple and terrible fact of the matter is that our United States federal government, whenever it has acquired new levels of power or been given new levels of power because of some emergency, they've never given it back. And once we start down this slippery slope, there's no going back. As our politicians continue to use the blooming national economic crisis to their advantage, they'll be passing more and more laws, which will be obviously for our own good, but they will be conferring more and more authority on the federal government that they'll never have to give back. Until, like all poorly managed governments, eventually this one's going to break. When that happens, we could see some social unrest. We could see some form of insurgency, some kind of revolt, which, if it were successful for a long enough period of time, would result in revolution. Now, I'm just a guy with a microphone. If I can see this coming, you know that the kids in Washington, D.C. can see this coming, too. Never mind the fact that they're too busy looting the national cookie jar to be bothered with trying to forestall what's coming. They are going to do this premeditatively, knowing that they risk killing the goose that lays the golden egg. It's worth noting, by way of historical comparison, that Rome's aristocrats plundered the empire even though they knew it was coming down around their ears. For the time being, I surmise that most federal-level politicians cannot see the advent of total power in their future, and so they may fantasize about it, but they're not going to think about it too seriously. At some future point, which is likely to not be in my lifetime, some wealthy social elite is going to wake up one day, and he or she is going to realize that total economic management is within their grasp, and that's going to translate to the kind of total power and near omnipotence that they really think they could do a lot of great things with. As the old saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Nobody wants to be more wrong about this than I do, but there are two things that I can point at which will happen within the next 24 to 36 months that will more or less prove my prediction. The democratically controlled Congress will gavel in on or about January 5th, sometime around there in 2009. A Democrat president will be sworn in on January 20th of 2009. By the end of calendar year 2009, you will see enough legislation in the docket to give you some small hint of where they're actually going with all of this centralized power. Now that I've said all this, I'm ready for you to agree or disagree as you see fit. Grab your keyboard and go to www.abovetopsecret.com, log in, and tell me what you think.